Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio, live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio here at the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel in Duluth. I am Mike Salmon alongside Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Mike, how are we doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. We've got another full house today.
I dare say this might be an award-winning show.
Do you want to know who's here?
I would love to know who's here.
All right, we've got from Aaron Overhead Doors Atlanta, Ryan Lucia. How's that sound?
That was perfect.
So far,
keep
so
going.
Good.
Yeah, one okay. For one. Go.
From Paranoia Quest Escape the Room, Dimitri
Mihailov.
Mihailov.
You're one for two, batting 500.
And from the Gwinnett Sports Commission and the Mitsubishi Electric Classic, the great golf tournament that we have here in Gwinnett, it's Monty Ortel, the tournament director, and Stan Hall. So I'm
three for four. You got my name right.
Four for five.
I'm with you.
Trey's here, Z's here, Emmett's here.
You're doing great. Get into the first interview.
All right. We got from the Mitsubishi Electric Classic, the tournament director, Monty Ortel, and from the Gwinnett Sports Commission, Stan Hall. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us. Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, Stan, we've had you on before, so we've become fast friends. Yes. And you've brought in Monty to introduce him to Gwinnett County as well. Tell us what's going on with the Mitsubishi Electric Classic and what Monty has been brought in to do.
Well, we're very excited about having Monty Ortel here with us today and with our event. As you know, we're entering the fifth year of the Mitsubishi Electric Classic PGA Tour Champions event at TPC Sugarloaf. We have established a very good, strong foundation for our tournament, and we're thrilled to have Monty Ortel beginning his first year as our tournament director. Monty comes to us from an event you may have heard of, the Greenbrier Classic PGA Tour event. I kid Monty all the time that he's upgraded a little bit to come to the Mitsubishi Electric Classic. But Monty has brought us a wealth of professional golf knowledge that we're thrilled to have him with us.
Well, Monty, welcome to Gwinnett County. Tell us about your background and with the Greenbrier and what brought you here.
Yeah, my background has been about 14 years in the professional golf world with the PGA Tour, most recently with the Greenbrier Classic. The opportunity here to get involved with Stan and his team in the Mitsubishi Electric Classic, the opportunity was tremendous. Gwinnett County is a great place to raise a family, and that is very important to me as well. And the event itself, and Stan referenced it earlier about the foundation for this event and the past history and the current history that we're creating with the Mitsubishi Electric Classic is fantastic. All the components for an extremely successful event are right here in this county. And then you go outside of the county lines and there's even more opportunity. So we're really excited about this upcoming year's event and building on the foundation that has been established the previous 4 years.
Stan, I want to ask you a question and then I'm going to ask a second question at the same time. And Monty, you can take that one. So you guys have both mentioned after 5 years, a good foundation being built. Mm-hmm. I would just like to ask kind of, what do you see as that foundation? What are some of the specifics that really set the Mitsubishi Classic apart? And then, Monty, let me ask, and you might not want to give away too many secrets, but what are some specifics you want to hope to build on that foundation? What are some things you want to bring to take it to the next level? So, Stan, go ahead.
Well, I think that, as you know, we started from scratch when we brought professional golf back to TPC Sugarloaf in the Atlanta area. We have a very good past history with the Bell South and AT&T Classic course over there. So we knew that professional golf was a perfect fit for that venue, and absolutely that was certainly the case. It was and it is again. Unfortunately, because of the pause we had between the AT&T and then bringing back the Mitsubishi event, you have to start all over again as far as your sponsor base. It's a lot of work on the business side to bring that back up to where it needed to be. And it took about what I thought it would as far as creating a very strong foundation for upward movement that we're concentrating on now. As you said, we finished our fourth year. We're moving toward the fifth. And we all agreed that it was time to make a big move and grow the event. And Monty was the perfect fit for that. And Monty, I think you agree with that is headed in the right direction.
Yeah, correct. And to highlight on the foundation, we celebrated this year $1 million in charitable giving over 4 years, and that's a tremendous benchmark, specifically on the PGA Tour Champions Tour level. And with that focus in mind, it just highlights the foundation that Stan referenced earlier on. It is successful. How do we take it to that next level? And part of that next level involvement is our corporate partnerships. And that's been a number one focus for me and the team to enhance that in order to grow. Just like any business, you've got to have the revenue to be able to grow and do the things that you want to do with the event from a fan experience standpoint, deliver for the sponsor and the partnerships on that front. So, you know, we're excited about focusing number one on that business development, because when that grows, the charitable impact and the giving goes up along with that. And that's really the foundation of what we're focused on day in and day out, is to bring in more revenue to go ahead and increase that charitable number. I referenced a couple of weeks ago that it would be great to not wait 4 years to eclipse the $2 million mark. And that's very important to us, this community, and our business partners that we partner with. So very exciting times for us, and it's just building on that foundation and expanding that revenue stream for the event.
We're talking with Stan Hall and Monty Ortel about the Mitsubishi Electric Classic Golf Tournament. What are the dates for 2017? No, 2000. What's our next year coming up? 2017.
The easy thing to remember about our tournament is that we're always the week after the Masters, which is great for us. I think, Monty, correct me, but I think it's April the 14th. The 10th, maybe through the 14th.
The 10th through the 16th. Yep.
Okay.
He passed that test. By the way, that is very unique in golf that you can, not many other tournaments. In fact, I don't think any other tournaments hardly can say, well, we're the week after the Masters.
The week after the Masters, right. Put that on your calendar and never forget it. That's exactly what we say. So,
coming from the PGA, Monty, are there differences in how you run a tournament when it's more of a Champions Tour? Is it the Champions Tour? Is that what it's
PGA
called?
PGA Tour Champions.
PGA Tour Champions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mouthful.
Yes. No, it is for me. It is for me.
You just lost your gig at MCing it, by the way.
That's right.
We'll bring Johnny Phelps back again this year then. He does a much Absolutely. Better job anyway. Are there differences how you run the tournaments?
Well, the core elements of running a PGA Tour event or a PGA Tour Champions event are the same. There are different nuances. Some of the examples from an operational standpoint is the player field size is a little bit smaller. Your requirements from a player front is a little bit different from an eligibility standpoint. And I like to highlight the fact that when a PGA Tour rookie comes on to the tour 22, 23 years old, there's a huge learning curve from a fan base standpoint to know the name recognition, face recognition. And for the PGA Tour champions, a rookie coming on the scene like this past year or this year, it's 2016, John Daly. Well, he's a rookie to the tour, our tour, but he's not a rookie in the minds of our patrons, our partners, and internationally. So there's a name recognition that is instantaneous with a rookie on our tour. So that's a big difference where on the PGA Tour side, you know, we wanted to highlight and give opportunities with our sponsors exemptions to rookies or those who just need a little bit of help to get into the field, jumpstart their career. Well, here on this side of the equation, the rookies really they don't need that help or assistance. But from the business standpoint of it, we highlight more on the overall experience and the relationships that the connection between the player and the patron. I grew up watching Steve Stricker. He's turning 50 this coming year. I don't really have a favorite player, but I really like him. He's a good human being and a great player. Well, he's going to be a rookie this coming year. And so we try to connect the dots and utilize and capitalize, which we talked about earlier, about the week after the Masters. that's a tremendous opportunity for us. That's when the whole golf world, at least in the United States, kind of turns on their attention to professional golf. And that's very important to us. And we're going to try to capitalize on that, continue to capitalize on that. So the differences, yeah, there are some minor differences that I've had to adjust to. But really, those core elements is charity, sponsorship development, enhancing the player field the best we can, making the event the best we can so the top players in the world can come and compete.
Out of curiosity, how old is Tiger now? Tiger's hit 40, right? He's mid 40s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so he's 40.
He's playing today, as a
we'll
matter
see.
Of fact.
Yeah, he's coming back.
So 2 years away, right?
Hopefully, if he could stay healthy.
Monty, I want to ask you about the corporate sponsorships. You mentioned earlier that that's kind of the next step to take this event to the next level. For the businesses in Gwinnett or the metro area that have done some marketing, they work with a radio station, they work with Business Radio X, and they want to have, they understand, hey, when I become a sponsor there, I get commercials on the air. They do other things. They kind of know what to expect. For a business that's never been a sponsor at a golf event of this level, what should they expect? What should they look forward to? And therefore, when they hear you say it mm-hmm. at the end of this interview, they're going to call you.
Yeah, I always say,
no pressure though.
No pressure. Start the clock.
I say, it's not really a sales pitch or a marketing slogan, but I always compare our professional sporting league versus the others, National Football League, Major League Baseball, NHL, go on down the list. The one thing that sets us apart is you have, you know, one of our opportunities with the event is how many sponsorships allow you to play with the professional. And I had a unique opportunity early in my career to play in one of our pro-ams, and being able to play with a professional for 4.5 hours, create a relationship outside of just, I see him down there shooting the basketball, I see him hitting the tee ball, but be able to walk the fairway with that individual, have that individual read your putts. It's something that is so unique to the PGA Tour Champions world that, you know, that's one of the things that is in the highest demand for what we have from an opportunity standpoint for sponsors. Entertainment is second to none. When we're talking about a hospitality ticket package or an 18th green skybox, you have a captive audience, not for 2.5 hours, not for 3.5 hours. You have a captive audience with your customer base or your employees or your executives or your prospective clients that you're trying to entertain. You have a captive audience in a very relaxed setting. Well, professional golf is being played, but you have that time to sit down and have a conversation that you wouldn't otherwise at another professional sporting event. So in that instance, it sets you apart from the other leagues. And frankly, it's one of those things, once you try it once, we have you hooked because the experience is so much different and very successful. And our target demographic is tremendous for our partners.
I would agree with that completely. And I love the fact that, you know, you play with a professional. I mean, you're a fan for life now, mm-hmm. Especially for that player. Stan and Monty, again, Stan with the Gwinnett Sports Commission. Monty's the new tournament director with the Gwinnett, Mitsubishi Electric Classic at Sugarloaf Country Club, TPC Sugarloaf, in April, the week after the Masters. Mm-hmm. Before we let you go we'll give the website and all that, anything else you want to add about this year's tournament or the tournament that's going to be in April of 2017?
Yeah, I would encourage your listeners that maybe aren't in that sponsorship level, but I would encourage your listeners to visit our website. Give the tournament office a call if you want more information about the event. One of our big areas of strategy moving forward is our fan enhancement. So a patron that comes out is going to see something different than they have in the past, and. I encourage you to sign up for our social media outlets to stay up to date. But we're going to do some unique things, not only for 17, but moving forward. And we're excited. I'm excited to be here, and it's going to be a great event.
All right. Go ahead and give the website. Any other contact information, social media sites you want to pass along?
Yeah. The first thing I'd like to say is just visit our website, MitsubishiElectricClassic.com. You can just a few clicks away, and you can sign up to all our social media outlets, and that's the best way to stay connected with us. We're excited to grow our fan base and our corporate base, and appreciate us being here.
So not only tickets for fans and corporate opportunities, there's you're looking for volunteers, I assume, as well. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get involved.
That's correct. Yeah, volunteer information is on there as well. Our goal this year is to have 600 volunteers. We need an army to put on a professional sporting event. And if you want to help us in that area, all that information is online as well.
Great. Well, Stan, you're off to a good start here with Monty. We appreciate you bringing them by.
Thank you so much. We appreciate being to visit with you.
All right. Stan Hall with the Gwinnett Sports Commission. Monty Ortel, the new tournament director with the Mitsubishi Electric Classic here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Mike, Gwinnett Business Radio is coming to you from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. And you and I have been reading and telling everybody about Subaru of Gwinnett for a long time. But today, we have a little bit of a unique read to the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. We do, because our next guest, Ryan Lucia of Aaron Overhead Doors, in a past life, was a employee at Subaru of Gwinnett. So I am proud to read in front of Mr. Lucia.
How did you know that?
Because I talk to the guests, Mike.
Oh, you actually talk to guests before we go on the air?
I do. It's a good habit. You ought to get into it.
I'm just talent. I don't do that.
Well, that's true. Wait, about not talking to the guests, not about the talent. Okay. So, you threw me off. Ryan knows what you know and I know and all of our listeners know, that love is what makes a Subaru. And our listeners can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett, where people like Ryan sell cars. Well, you did. Now you sell other things. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join the family today. Come in and see the difference. Maybe you're already a Subaruist. Then follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. Now back to Mike, the talent.
All right, Stephen, appreciate it very much. Well, you just heard it. Ryan Lucia from Aaron Overhead Doors Atlanta is our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio. And I've already found out that you used to work at Subaru of Gwinnett, so that's a good thing. So tell us about your background and how you ended up now starting your own company doing overhead doors.
Yeah, so real quick, funny story about Subaru. My old boss, Joe, who used to work there, he used to call me a prima donna. And I probably was very much that. But every morning I'd come in before him because I'd like to make phone calls and get a jump on my day. And I'd park in his parking spot every single morning. And it was like a year that this went on where he would come in and fuss me out and tell me to move my car. And so I think that was a power play. But
Did he make sure he tried to beat you to the office.
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but it was a great place to work. Steve Kendrick, the main guy there, he's probably one of the best guys in the car business. I really love that guy.
We will second that and third.
Second that. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
All right. So you're there. How did you get into the garage door business?
Yeah. So I've changed careers quite a few times. I get bored quickly, but I went from...
He'll be a tournament director of a golf tournament in like a few weeks.
Yeah, so...
Not here, Monty.
Yeah, somewhere else. I started in the car business selling cars at 19 years old, kind of moved through the ranks there, and decided that I wanted to get out of the 60, 70-hour work weeks working in a dealership. So I started working for a vendor selling products to dealerships, and then during that time, I launched a marketing and consulting firm on the side and took on a client out in California. His name's Larry, who owns Aaron Overhead Doors. It's been passed down to him from his parents. And one thing led to another. After kind of being with a software company for 7 or 8 years, I decided to get out of the corporate world, per se, and jump out and kind of do my own thing. And the most opposite thing I could think of was being in garage doors and driving around in a truck all day. So that sounded exciting to me.
So now he's the main man, and now somebody parks in his parking spot.
That's right.
No, they don't, because they can't get the garage door open because it's so secure and safe, right?
So tell us exactly, what does your company do? What is the service you provide?
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty simple. We install garage doors and openers as well as repair them for residential and commercial, and it's been absolutely fantastic. We're very aggressive in the market. We started August 1st, 2015. December, I set goals for this year that were well beyond what probably I should have. And yesterday, we surpassed our annual goal. So we were very excited.
Why do you think that is? What do you bring to the table that other overhead door companies don't have? And what do your people bring to the table that other overhead
door companies? I don't sleep.
Okay, well, that'd be good.
That's work 24/7.
You beat yourself to your own parking space.
That's right. Yeah.
And you're a prima donna.
And I'm a prima donna.
In a good way.
Yeah, I expect the best. We hire the best. We use the best parts and we charge more for everything. And
it's worth it.
And it's worth it. Yeah. And we just bring, I come from a very software technology background. And so I run my company probably a little bit different than most garage door companies. I treat my employees, I give them a lot of responsibility. And so I let them run the company and then I park in my parking spot.
It's the most important thing. How is it, you know, personally, has it affected your personal life to, you know, I mean, now you're running your own business. You're the main dog.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, personally, it's a challenge. Of course. I've got a 7-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son. I think I told you guys, I got roped into coaching my son's baseball team with 3- and 4-year-olds. But, yeah, I mean, I try to make time. Basically, I have to block time off on my schedule to have a personal life. But like I told you, I mean, I literally fall asleep at my computer every night and I wake up on my computer every morning and I get after it.
So let me ask you this. I loved your answer of you do only the best and you charge a lot because it's worth it. Tell people that are listening, because I think garage doors are one of those things nobody thinks about until they need to think about it and it breaks. So tell the difference between high quality garage door and low quality garage door. I mean, what are some of the things people need to know?
Yeah. So when you have an inexpensive garage door, there's no insulation usually. They have a tendency to crack or cause problems or even be really loud. Same with openers. If you have an opener that's really loud or clunky, we can fix that. And those are usually signs of issues. And so it's not expensive. And if you're local here in the Gwinnett County area, what's nice is a lot of times we'll come to your house for free and inspect the issues or if there's, you know, loud noises going on, you just don't have an idea of what needs to be looked at. And then once we point it out and explain it to people, it's pretty obvious that that's the issue. And what we do is we came into the market and we started driving around with samples in our trucks and showing customers the difference between a non-insulated cheap door and an insulated, maybe 3-layer door, which is doubly secure, if that's a word. It's just more structurally sound and more quiet. And I think that makes a big difference.
Is there also an issue of maintenance when it comes to a garage door? Is it good to have it checked up? Do you try to get your clients to go, hey, let us come back every year, 2 years, whatever? Talk a little bit about upkeep.
Yeah, it's a great question because I think the garage door is probably the least paid attention to part of your home.
Right.
When in reality, it's the largest, heaviest moving part of your home. And so garage doors, when we walk into someone's home, we ask them, when's the last time you had it serviced? The answer is almost always never.
Right.
And so we recommend every 2 to 3 years having somebody come in and take a look at it, lubricate it, tighten everything down.
It's also the most used, right? I mean, it is. And
until it breaks.
Right. And then I can't even get out of my garage.
No one uses their front door anymore.
No.
Right.
They go through their garage.
It's a primary entry point.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Ry Lucia with Aaron Overhead Doors Atlanta on the show with us. Starting your own business, obviously you've been very successful. What are some of your goals? Where do you want to go?
Wait, he already met his goals.
Okay, you already met your
year.
Goals.
For now, that next year. 2017, right? Is that the next year, Mike?
I think it is. Okay. I wasn't sure earlier, but
we've already established that point.
Yeah.
So now tell us your goals.
So next year, I've set basically 5% growth month over month. And for a self-funded company, I think that's pretty fair. And my team doesn't know we've hit the goal yet, just so y'all know. So hopefully this doesn't get out.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, so I've told them that we're still going after it. So we're trying to make December a good month.
The whole world knows now.
Yeah.
You've been on Gwinnett Business Radio. You haven't heard about us.
Yeah, so
we're award-winning.
That's right.
Got the award somewhere.
And this is an award-winning show.
Right here.
Okay. Do I get one of those?
Yes.
Okay.
When you reach your goal.
Okay.
For next year.
That's right.
So you talked about the people that you work with, and you talked about giving them a lot of responsibility. What kind of responsibility are you giving them that other companies aren't? And then also, again, the people you're looking for, what sets them apart? I guess, have you found that by giving them more responsibility, they take ownership?
Yes.
And that makes it, so they're like mini owners themselves.
That's right.
That's what sets them apart.
Yeah, I mean, I like to give them the freedom to make decisions in the field. And I only hire people that I trust to be able to do that. And I like training people. So I take people from the beginning and move them up. And there's a lot of guys out there that maybe work for another garage door company. I probably wouldn't hire, even though they're really good. Just because customer service is probably the number one thing that I'm looking for in someone.
You came from software. Are you finding that the right people who work for your company come from certain backgrounds, or are there certain types of people?
We're still early in the process. I've only got 7 people right now. So it's hard to kind of narrow that down. Everybody's come from different places at this point. So it's just a matter of, you know, we'll figure that out as we go.
Work hard, be a prima donna, and, take care
of
the customer.
Try to get my parking spot.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, our listeners are typically business owners, business leaders, executives, and so forth, as you would expect on business radio. Any advice you would give to maybe to that entrepreneur out there, somebody who's looking to start their own business?
Stay hungry and never give up.
I like it. It's pretty good.
And beat yourself to your own parking spot. That is what's going to stick with me. I like that.
For those that would like to find out more, looking to maybe, you know, getting their door replaced or repaired, where can they find more information?
Yeah, so we're really big on Facebook. I know you can find us on Facebook. We're Aaron Overhead Doors Atlanta. We're always posting pictures of jobs we've done, even though some of them are unique. Yesterday, I just showed you, like, one of them where we installed a aluminum glass garage door on a countertop. Someone cut a hole in their basement and wanted us to install that to separate or to kind of bring an open area from the outside to the inside. So we can do all kinds of stuff. We like to get creative and do custom things as well.
There you go. It's not just something for your driveway and your car to go in. I mean, you can be creative. That's pretty cool.
That's right.
Is there a phone number when someone has that emergency and they don't want to necessarily go through Facebook? What's the best way to reach you?
678-960-3360.
So I'm gonna join your marketing department for a second, because as someone who has a garage door and as someone who has an old garage door, my story, I've had 2 people come out to service it, 2 different companies, because it had some issues. And when they did, they said, normally we try to sell a new one, but this one's so strong and old, you need to keep it, but you just need to keep it serviced. But what they didn't do was give me stuff to keep nearby. Mm-hmm. So for everybody listening, and like Mr. Lucia's story, remember, write it down and put it on your refrigerator, 678-960-3360, because it's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
That's right.
And you want to call Aaron Overhead.
And we put
to come
stickers in your garage too, so you'll
exactly
have our number.
Right. But and then on their fridge, and put it on their phone, and make sure they have it handy when
they
need to call.
I appreciate that.
Good job, Stephen.
You're welcome, Mike.
All right, Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Before we get to our last guest, and I am excited about our last guest, as excited, if not maybe just slightly a little bit more from our first 2, because Mike, you and I kind of met him already and demonstrated his product a little bit. Mm-hmm. Before that, we've got to give a shout out to the wonderful sponsor of our show, Ferratech. Ferratech is your one source for all toner supplies, printers, copiers, and computers. Whether you need service or repair on your hardware, or you're looking to find the best price and quality on toner supplies, Ferratech has a skilled and knowledgeable team to help you and your company. Contact them today to see how they help you. They're waiting for your call at 770-582-1188, or they will answer you immediately if you go to FARRATECH.com.
All right. Not that we don't love our first couple of guests.
We love them.
We've
They're
been
fantastic.
To the Mitsubishi Electric Classic.
Absolutely.
Great tournament. We always have a great time. I've covered it for the media. Love those guys. I have a garage door.
And we met an awesome prima donna who's a fantastic business owner.
And he did not take my parking space this morning.
That's right.
But Dimitri is here from Paranoia Quest Escape the Room. And we got a chance, both you and I, Stephen, to do Paranoia Quest Escape the Room a few nights ago.
Yep.
One of the coolest things I've ever done. Dimitri, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Tell us about Paranoia Quest Escape the Room. What is it all about? Tell folks what we experienced the other night.
All right. So Escape the Room is the place where you're locked in a room and you have to solve different puzzles and riddles in 60 minutes or less. Now, what you guys experienced here at the Mall of Georgia, it's a virtual reality version of it. All right. So meaning you have a goggles, you put it on, you see the room that you have to escape in a virtual world.
So for those of us, for those listening who've done an Escape the Room in the real world, what makes the virtual reality that much better? What sets it apart?
Well, I wouldn't say it's better or worse. It's just completely different.
Right.
So there is, first of all, there is not so many people who actually tried, you know, virtual reality goggles at all. So it's pretty cool for people just experience it, you know, put the goggles on as you guys experience, and you're completely in a different world. Right. 1 second you're in the room, another second you're in a dungeon.
Right.
Yes. You know? And so quality of technology is so high these days that it allows us to make it very realistic. So before, people experienced problems with, you know, they didn't like quality and it's very low resolution. These days, as you experience, it's pretty much you feel like you're there.
Now you have a temporary location right now in Mall of Georgia. You guys are doing the build out. It's going to be huge. Is the virtual reality stuff with the goggles, is that still going to be part of the experience that you're going to offer, or is that just something you're doing now so people can kind of get an idea of what it's going to be like when they do it in the real world?
Great question. So first of all, just want to mention that we have a location in downtown Atlanta. And yes, we're building one more in Mall of Georgia, which is 6,000 square feet. It's very nice and big facility. We want to incorporate this virtual reality in part of some of our quests. I'm going to give you an example. So you come in as a group, as maybe a corporate team building, right? And so our goal to help you to bond together the team closer. So in one of the rooms, and again, each quest which we possess, which we have, which we build, is multiple room, multiple stage kind of event. And so in one of the rooms, for example, you can find an area where you have to defuse the bomb. Now, only one person can take the goggles, they can put them on, and they can see the remote bomb. Now, nobody else cannot see it, but they see instructions how to defuse it. And so they ask the person in the goggles, what do you see? And he describes, well, it's red, there is five wires, and we need to cut one. And so they ask him the questions. Okay, well, if the first wire is red, you know, do that. Or if the third wire is, I don't know, like blue, then you have to do this. And they give him steps. And so they have to work all together in order to accomplish, you know, common goal.
In Paranoia Quest Escape the Room, so you've talked about a team building scenario. Are there also going to be scenarios if I come just by myself or I come with just someone else? And is it always going to be a group, or are there going to be opportunities for individuals? Because Mike and I kind of experienced it individually, and I'm wondering if that's going to be possible as well.
So usually if individual want to sign up, we give them opportunity to sign up, but usually it's at least two people or more who we want to participate. So, you know, we book in pretty solidly. So meaning that if you book one person, most likely you're going to end up being...
In a group,
yeah. Correct.
So make it a date night with your wife or
significant
other.
That's what I was thinking. There you go.
And I can tell you, some people actually call us and ask, you know, are we going to be grouped? So some people want to be grouped with other people, mm-hmm. and some people want to be by themselves. And we give them opportunity to choose what do they want to do.
All right. We talked to Ryan about having his own business. For you, what are some of the challenges you have of owning Paranoia Quest?
Well, I can tell you from the beginning when we were opening first location, the hardest part was probably finances. So, you know, you're a new business. Banks don't want to finance, don't want to touch it. And so you have to find the sources, or you have to have enough money basically to open up on your own. And that was the big challenge at the beginning. And I can tell you, with opening second location, which is twice bigger in a much better area, as I believe, because I live in Gwinnett. So I really like, you know, Mall of Georgia in this area. It's always the challenge. I can tell you the money. And, you know, we're always looking for partners. We open for opportunities to partner up with the people who maybe want retired and they just want to have a, you know, like a passive income stream. So
if your kids had any say, Stephen, you'd be a partner like tomorrow.
They did talk to me about partners. Dad, I got $50. Can I put it into the company?
Yeah.
So we are speaking with Dmitry Mihailov of Paranoia Quest Escape the Room. You talked about partners, but you also, I think a great way for people to partner is, let's talk about those small business owners. Let's talk about the businesses in Gwinnett County, small, medium, and large, who can use Paranoia Quest Escape the Room to do some team building. What's the benefits? I think a lot of businesses either have never done it, or maybe they haven't had the best experience at something they've done in the past. What are some of the benefits of coming in and doing a corporate building event at Paranoia Quest Escape the Room?
So first of all, for people who is not familiar with the business, I want to mention that our downtown Atlanta location, about 20 to 25% of our business is actually corporate events. And so a lot of companies, we have repeat customers, like big customers like Coca-Cola, Delta, Bank of America. They send different departments to us for team development. Now, there is two options which we offer. So you can just come and experience as escape room for your group, or you actually can do team development. So we offer different packages, and one of the packages we have, it's called debriefing. What it entails is we send a questionnaire before the game to participants. They have to fill it out, send it back to us, and we, you know, based on their answers, we build the profile for each person who's going to participate. And so we call them, like, there is a different cool names we call them. It's like mechanic, artist, scientist, thinker, doer, giver. And then during the game, our game masters make notes. So it's more in-depth kind of experience. So we watch carefully and we see how people interact, who is finding what, how they communicate between each other and so on and so on. And then at the end of the experience, we take their profile, we take our notes, we give to the debriefing room. And for about half an hour, 45 minutes, they actually talk about what was happening inside, how they communicated, what was the game flow, why they did what they did. And so we help them at the end to understand themselves better. And we help them to understand their team better. And so this is actually very successful. And a lot of group who is looking for team building, they really appreciate it and they really like it. It's a little bit more expensive, but again, it's worth every penny.
Great stuff. Appreciate that, Dimitri, from Paranoia Quest Escape the Room here on Gwinnett Business Radio. I did it the other day. And I don't know about you, Stephen, because I wasn't with you when you did yours. But I mean, I looked like a fool. But it was fun as heck. But I mean, I looked like an idiot. But I mean, that was the fun part
of it. But not inside. Not inside the game. You didn't feel like an idiot.
Oh, no. It was one of the coolest things I've ever done. Yeah. I'll tell you that. So I appreciate the fact that you let us come in and try it out. What's been one of the funniest or most interesting stories that you've seen or with somebody coming and participating?
Well, with the virtual reality, we've seen some people, you know, being so, they felt so real that they felt. And you've seen probably some people seen videos on YouTube when people in goggles, they feel so real that it's unreal how real it is. And so, but with a main escape room, which we have in downtown, I've seen people playing it and then they come out and they have a lockers and they have a key. But during the game, they forget about everything. They come out to the locker, they see the lock and instantly they start looking for the clues. Well, how do I open my locker? And, you know, it's so, sometimes it's so funny when we tell them, well, you have the key, there is no clues. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, the one, tell folks about the one that I really enjoyed. I think you played it as well. It was the mansion, the scary mansion.
Uh-huh.
And
my son played that one.
Yeah. I had like a monster jump out of me and I'm jumping. I mean, it was so real.
Well, you just told everybody.
That and the robot one as well. It was so real. It was unreal. I think I've heard that before.
But you didn't fall. We're proud of you for
no, but I did. I did jump.
Yes,
I did jump. So I mean, it was amazing.
Well, give everybody a taste of you know, in that the scary room and the robot. I mean, what are they facing? What are they going to see?
Okay, so again, let me do a division between virtual reality and the real one. So I'm going to start with the virtual reality. Right now, we offer I think four options for the virtual reality escape room, and we have some scary ones and non-scary ones because people like different stuff. So we usually ask them, what would you prefer? We also have different difficulties. So we tell, you know, if you have experience, you know, you probably would like to have more challenge. If you've never experienced it before, you know, we give them easier option. So with the scary one, we build it's called a Ghost Miner. And the reason why we built this one, we opened right at the Halloween. And so it was good theme for the Halloween people. Really enjoyed it. And yeah, there is a lot of interesting moments inside it. Now, the location which we have right now in downtown Atlanta, again, we have a zombie apocalypse. It speaks for itself. And we have escape the room with a zombie. This is the coolest and scariest one we have probably in town, where we have a live zombie chasing you, and it's pretty advanced. Like, we have guns, you have to, you know, shoot the zombies. We have shields, you have to protect yourself. In the meantime, you have to solve different puzzles and riddles. So, you know, it brings extra level of, you know, difficulty. But also, we have very family-friendly quests, where you can come with the family, come with the kids, and have a lot of fun.
And for our listeners of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X, go search Gwinnett Business Radio on Facebook if you want to see Mike's wonderful experience and what he looked like on the outside as he was enjoying inside the scary room.
Actually, well, it's all over your Facebook page, Dimitri. Yes. What's your Facebook page?
So it's Paranoia Quest Escape the Room, no spaces.
Okay. For those that would like to find out more and see some people's reactions and a lot of good stuff, give us the website and any other contact information you want to share.
Sure. So website is www.paranoia, like you have in paranoia, quest.com. And the reason behind this name, it's actually once you play it, you become kind of paranoid, looking at everywhere like clue. So you're looking for clues. So we think it's kind of cool name and easy to remember. So, and our Facebook is, again, Paranoia Quest Escape the Room, and YouTube channel. So find our YouTube channel. You'll see some cool videos. We usually record the videos. We have a video surveillance system inside the rooms, and sometimes we upload some cool moments when people get scared or, you know, something epic happens, and we usually, you know, put it on social media.
What's really funny is none of our guests know, but they're going to have to find clues to get out of the studio today. We've got the doors locked. So, well, we appreciate it very much, Dimitri, for coming on. Great stuff. Where is your location in Atlanta? Give the Atlanta location.
Sure. So it's right in the heart of the downtown by the courthouse. It's 72 Broad Street Southwest. And again, new location, which we're building right now here at Mall of Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's obviously Buford, Georgia, Mall of Georgia. And we're opening, we're hoping to open by, you know, around mid of January, maybe a little bit earlier.
Okay.
We'll open one of the quests. So we're building five new quests. They completely unique, all completely different. Again, check our website, and it's actually bookings is already available. So if you want to do a team building event, maybe January, February, you can already go online and book online.
And until the new place opens, the complete place, you do have a small little area on the upstairs inside the Mall of Georgia, and people can sample and try out like Mike and I.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Great. Dimitri, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Aaron's in.
I'm going to do it.
Very good. And you're going to beat him to the parking lot too, apparently.
I'll take your spot and then come in your place and we'll do the virtual reality thing.
Bring all Sounds your employees.
And yeah, Dimitri, I'm going to bring my team. We do team building events like every other month. I'm definitely in on January.
Awesome.
Count me in. I'll sign up.
All right. Well, thank you very much for Dimitri from Paranoia Quest Escape the Room. Also from Ryan Lucia from Aaron Overhead Doors Atlanta. And Monty Ortel and Stan Hall from the Mitsubishi Electric Classic for joining us here on the program. Quick reminder, you can listen to the show anytime, 24/7, by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. You can listen to this show or any of our shows. The podcasts are all right there. Also, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Dimitri's not the only one on social media. We are as well. Steven, any final words?
Nothing to say except that I'm glad that you, as the prima donna of this show, will be able to escape the room here yet again.
Yes, but you got to find the clues or you're not getting out of here.
Great.
We're going to have some fun.
I'm going to be stuck here for a while.
All right. For Z and
Where's my key?
Emmett and for Trey and for the entire crew here at Gwinnett Business Radio, we will see you next time here on Business Radio X.